Hello, everyone, and welcome tonight to Freedom's Way and our message this evening. If you have opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand this is a live teleconference meeting, so there will be people dialing in from across the country. And so we'll give them an opportunity to get here. We'll start in about 3 to 5 minutes. And any time, you podcasters, any time you would like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings live, they're held every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-POUND. It spells free me on your telephone keypad. You can also go to freedomswayministries.com for more information about us and ways to support our ministry. So God bless you for joining us tonight. And if you would like to say hello, now is a good chance to do that.
Hello, this is Helen.
Hi, Helen.
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I thought I heard a click. I thought you did. Okay, anyway, good to be here.
Yes, welcome. Welcome, welcome.
I thought I was late.
Nope. Right on time.
Okay. I just, the past hour, heard a fantastic teaching by a Messianic Jew on baptism and fire. It was just really, really humbled me. Very good. And lines up, he doesn't use the word judgment, he used the word testing. But also, out of the result of your disobedience, there's going to be judgment. Anyway, it was good.
Do you remember the name of the person?
I wrote it down somewhere. No, it didn't give the person. It gave the I'm not going to say synagogue, but wherever they met.
Yeah,
I have it written down. I'll text it to
okay.
you. There's a series
okay,
of
great.
About 3, 4, or 5 of them. Yeah.
Okay, that'd be good. Who else wants to say hello tonight?
Hello, hello, Ms. Vicki.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Jasper.
Good to have you
here. My wife, thank you, sis. Thank y'all for being there, too. My beautiful wife would be calling in, too, just a few seconds there. I'll just talk to her.
That'd be good.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for having us.
Amen, brother. I heard some other dingers. If you'd like to say hello and let us know you're here, that'd be good. And if not, it's okay. All righty. One more minute. Anybody wants to catch up with us? Get in on the very beginning. Lord, remind them it's Monday night.
Yeah.
All right. Any other callers would like to say hello? Now's your chance. I'm going to mute your telephones. Hang on. Hallelujah, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Good evening and welcome. My name is Phil Burdett. Here with my wife, Vicki. We are Freedom's
Hello.
Way Ministry. Hello.
No, I'm Sunette. I'm just checking in. Sorry.
No problem. Welcome. Hallelujah.
Go ahead and mute your phone in that, please.
So we are Freedom's Way Ministries, and our mission is to help you come into your true identity in Christ. This is our Monday night teaching. We do the same teaching on Friday night. This teaching is very rich, and I'm of the belief that you could probably do it for a week solid and still not really take in all that it really has to say. So we recommend that you relax, open up your spiritual ears, and receive what God has to deliver. Hallelujah. And then I will pray us in and we'll get started. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that through your word we can become more like you. And that is all we want to do. So we are thankful that your word helps us to grow. We thank you for that your special anointing is on this word tonight. And that you will bless your people with your anointing on this word. So we just thank you for your presence. Thank you for all you have to say, Father. We give you honor and glory for this word tonight and for all that you are and all that you do. We worship you. And in the name of Jesus, I take authority over any interloping spirit that would try to blunt or take away or distract God's people from getting all God has for them in this message. And I turn aside any retaliation from hell as well. I bind you, Satan, say, get behind us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So thank you, Lord, for this word. Give you honor and glory in it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen.
And amen. Hallelujah. This is the second part of our series on spiritual deception and error. Tonight we're going to focus on the subject of sickness. Now, this is a series of messages that are designed to kick over some of the sacred cows of religion and expose the spiritual deception in the way we think and view the things of God. Who he is, what he does, and how he does it. We tend to want to correct God when we see that his word and our reality don't match up. We say things like, well, it can't be true that God cares about me, because if he did, I wouldn't be sick, or I wouldn't be alone, or I wouldn't be poor, or whatever. Or we say, it can't be true that God's in control, because if he was, we wouldn't have drought and famine and crime and cancer and floods and hurricanes and wars and poverty and 100 other things. Often, what happens in our lives, even as Christians, is that we merge the lies of hell and the experiences of our lives, which is a very destructive combination that can cause us to be unwilling to believe God's word is true. I'm going to say that again. When you merge a lie from hell and your own experience that seems to reinforce that, it can make you unwilling to believe what God said is true. There are four basic areas in which we allow beliefs to be created by our own human reasoning. And those areas are sin, which we looked at last week, sickness, poverty, and death. Throughout the years, we've been reminding people that sin is not just bad things that bad people do. Of course, it is unclean actions and attitudes. But sin is also an evil spirit on assignment from hell to work a work of hell. We saw that according to Apostle Paul, John, who knew himself as the disciple Jesus loved, and even according to Jesus himself, that these evil spirits called sin are working their works from inside us. They dwell within us, right alongside the Holy Spirit of God. If you missed that teaching last week, you can ask afterward for the dial-in number, and I will give you the playback number and code for that so that you can hear it. And tonight we're going to explore a major area of deception in the church as we take a look at sickness.
Hallelujah. In our feeble and sometimes downright stupid way of trying to figure out why things happen the way they do and why people act the way they do, and why Aunt Louise died when she was such a good woman, or why Margaret's husband left her for her sister, and why baby April was run over by her daddy, this is rough, in the driveway, and so on. In our feeble attempts to explain the unexplainable, we end up blaming God for the bad stuff. We also have a tendency to give ourselves or others, someone in the world, credit for the good stuff. If the operation was a success, the doctor is brilliant. If the operation was a failure, God needed another angel in heaven. Help us, Lord. That's not really... That's distorted thinking.
Amen.
God does not need us in heaven. He needs us right here on earth, and people don't become angels anyway. Hallelujah. Beliefs we create to ease our pain in painful situations become doctrines which become ingrained in our lives, and some of them are simply abominable to the Lord.
That's true. So as we look at some of the false beliefs that religion has built around the topic of sickness and disease, we recognize that many of us have been taught things which oppose God's word. You will not know that if you're not in the word. For example, we've been told that God doesn't heal everybody, that it's his will for some of us to carry a disease or infirmity, quote, so he can teach us something, that there are just some things we have to live with or maybe die from, and that he creates some people defectively. We've even been taught that healing is not for today. It was only for Jesus and the apostles. So we're going to look at each one of these wrong beliefs to discover God's heart on the matter of sickness and healing.
Amen. The idea that God doesn't heal everybody and that he creates defective people comes from life experiences, the lie of the enemy, and a warped understanding of the word. Religious-minded people, with the help of hell, use scriptures to back up these beliefs. They generally use the passages about Jesus not being able to do much in Galilee and the story of the blind guy. So let's look at them. Mark 6, verses 1 through 6. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching.
Oh, thank you for your word, Lord. So, does God heal everybody? is it his will that some of us just won't be healed? The reality of our lives tells us some people don't get well from their diseases. They actually die. We all know someone who's in a continual struggle with some kind of illness. And we all know someone who died in spite of many, many prayers. This scripture even tells us Jesus could do no mighty work in his own country, and he healed only a few sick folks. Why do you suppose that is? Was the Lord unable to heal everyone? No. Was he unwilling? No. I believe the truth is, because the people thought they knew him, they knew he was essentially a nobody. He was one of them. He was nothing great. Familiarity breeds contempt. That is an old saying that most of us have heard, and in this case, I believe it's true. You know, I heard a sermon once, I'll never forget it, and it was titled The Sin of Familiarity. And it spoke of how we think we know something or someone so well that we can't get past what we know and into what is. Now, some of you can relate to this very thing. I know in my own life, the people who knew me before I decided to allow God to mold and shape and correct me, they have a really hard time thinking of me as a woman of God. I was anything but back in the day. And that's one of the drawbacks of familiarity. Another is we tend to take people we know very well, we tend to take them for granted. But the first case is in evidence here in Galilee. They knew him so well because he had grown up with them that they didn't think he was anybody special. And that is the evidence in Galilee when Jesus could do no mighty work.
It wasn't that he couldn't heal them. It was that people did not think he could, and so they would not come to him. Well, obviously impactful. They would not come to him. They would not give him the office of who he was. You can search the scriptures through and through, and he be hard-pressed to find a single instance when someone was brought to Jesus or came to him personally and was not healed of whatever problem there was. From what I've seen in Scripture, Jesus Christ never turned away a sick person. Now, he didn't exactly seek them out, but he never turned them away. We have to recognize who Jesus is, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. And next, we have to come to him. All healing flows from the cross. Jesus didn't come down and smear his blood over people. If we want to be healed, we must go to the cross and let his blood drip on us.
Amen.
Everyone who came to Jesus was healed. All who had contact with him, recognizing him as king, were healed. That is still true today according to the Word of God. Hebrews 13:8-9, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines.
Amen. If Jesus Christ is the same today as he was yesterday, how was he yesterday? Acts 10, verse 37 and 38, that word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The prophet Isaiah, the psalmist David, the apostle Peter, dozens of others testify of the same thing. Jesus healed everyone. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus Christ heals everyone who comes to him. We simply need to get there. Amen?
Amen. Exodus 15:26. And he said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Malachi 4 and 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wing. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Well, enough said. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed everyone then and now and in the future. His blood is still working, and it is all powerful and effective to rid us of all illness, infirmity, injury, you name it. Now, what about the statement that God creates people with birth defects? Yes, he creates the people, but not the birth defect. He doesn't make babies with missing limbs, brain disorders, blindness, deafness, and so on. These things are usually the cause of some generational issue in the family or some type of treatment that the mother was given, or something that she might have taken as, you know, that also enters in. But primarily generational issues. There is always a spiritual, legal reason for those kind of defects. It is never that God made them that way so he could somehow get glory. That is a religious idea which needs to be slain and buried in back in hell where it came from. There is nothing in a defect that glorifies God. Now, I can hear that voice in your heads saying, what about the blind men? This is the passage which religious-minded people, with the help of hell, use to prove God gives us physical problems.
I'm going to read from the book of John, chapter 9, the first three verses and the first part of verse 4. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Let me interject here. Even in Jesus' day, they knew there was a connection between sin and sickness. Who sinned that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. Let us first be reminded there were no punctuation marks in the original text. We've been taught that the scripture means the man was born blind because God needed a blind man so he could heal him and show off what he could do. I think that's foolish. If we were to move the punctuation, we could say it this way. Neither has this man sinned, comma, nor his parents, period. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him, comma, I must work the works of him that sent me.
That makes a lot of sense. That's pretty amazing. I hope you got that. Now, the questioning voice in your heads is asking, but doesn't that negate the idea of legal right through a generational curse? Well, not at all. Scripture is clear that generational curses can visit a family to the third and fourth generations, and Jesus only mentioned the man and his parents. Scripture also says that God visits mercy on thousands of generations of the righteous. By this, we can see that even though a generational curse may have been present through the actions or attitudes of grandparents or great-grandparents, the righteousness of these two present generations, the man and his parents who had not sinned, set the man up to be healed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So it wasn't the sin of the man which caused his blindness, but it was his righteousness which enabled his healing. Let me say that again. It wasn't the sin of the man or his parents, but it was their righteousness that enabled the healing. God visits his mercy to thousands of generations. Somebody had to break that curse. So finally, let's look at one more scripture which puts to rest that God makes defects in babies in the womb, so that being born blind or deaf is an act of God's will. Proverbs 20, verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made even both of them. Listen to it. The hearing ear, the seeing eye. Those are the creation of God. If a person is born blind, deaf, deformed, brain damaged, or any way other than perfect, it's a work of hell in the womb. It is not a work of God. Hallelujah.
That's right. Let's go on to the idea that God gives us a disease or physical infirmity so that he can work something out in us, teach us something, or otherwise put us in our place. We adopt this doctrine because it happens so often that people get really sick and find themselves getting close to God. So we think, say things like, God had to get his attention, or God gave me cancer so I'd learn to trust him, or it's God's will for me to be sick. I deserve it, and he's punishing me. Well, first of all, if you really believe it's God's will for you to be sick, then stop trying to get better.
Wow.
It's very hypocritical of a person to think God gave them a disease and then try to get over it. If God gave it to you, then yield to it and take the consequences of it. Can you see how ridiculous that thinking really is?
It really is. It really is. And, you know, I was thinking of something that I want to interject here about believing that God created this in a person. That, you know, say a person who is born with cerebral palsy. I know one very well who was. And she carries a lot of anger because of it, and because over the years she's heard, you know, God wants her that way. So, you know, how can she ever trust him if she continues to believe that, or hold on to the anger of it? So it's we need to get our thinking straight on this. We really, really do. And also, do you really presume to think that God has to make you sick to get your attention? Is that his mode of operation? I don't think so. Does he need a disease to speak to us? Hardly. Many people think God uses sickness to punish us for our transgressions. That is just not so. God poured out his wrath for sin on Jesus Christ at the cross. Jesus bore that wrath so we wouldn't have to, that judgment so we wouldn't have to. And that includes all manner of sicknesses. Now, you're either going to believe that or you're not. One of the scriptures that people use to say that God gives us diseases and accidents is in Psalm 119, verse 75, which says, the translation says, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that you in faithfulness have afflicted me.
This scripture has been interpreted to mean that when we don't toe the line with God, he'll punish us with some sort of affliction. However, if you believe that's what it means, you have to throw out another scripture that is oh so clear. And that would be Job 37:23. It says the following, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict.
Amen.
So if God does not afflict, what does the verse in Psalm 119 mean? Simply this, God is true to his word. That is his faithfulness. In Genesis 3:17, God cursed the ground for man's sake. In other words, we're living in a cursed world where things are meant to be difficult so that we will know we need God, partner up with him, and live a kingdom life and not a worldly life.
Amen.
God is true to his word. When we are not true to his word, we are subject to the ways of the world, which are difficult and fraught with affliction. We will either live in the protection and prosperity and health of God's covering in the kingdom, or we will suffer the afflictions of the world. It's my choice. Justice is big with God. When we bring judgment on the lying spirits from hell, we bring justice to the person. Stop believing the lies of the devil which promote doubt of God's goodness and start believing the truth. Position yourself to experience the goodness of God. There's another interesting verse in Psalms which tells us what we believe and declare is what we will live in.
Yes, and that is Psalm 116 and verse 10, which says this, I believed, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. That's the progression. This scripture explains clearly that what we believe and declare is an opening for evil to take root in us. For example, if you have a diagnosis from a doctor and you believe it to be the truth and you begin to talk about how bad off you are, you will live in the affliction. I have a good example for you. In my own life, years ago, many years ago, I suffered repeated bouts with bronchitis that inevitably turned into pneumonia. I would have pneumonia at least one time a year, sometimes more. And I was told by my doctor, after a particularly ravaging time in the hospital, I was in there for 10 days, and I was a young person, that what I was told was, I was left with chronic acute bronchitis and that I would never take another clean breath. That is the curse that he spoke over me. And I believed what he said. After all, he was the doctor. And he knew what he was talking about. So I began to tell people, I have chronic acute bronchitis. I can't be around certain smells, smoke, chemicals, perfumes, anything really. And the result of my belief and confession was that year after year, I would be extremely sick at least twice. I believed it, I spoke it, and I was greatly afflicted. And then I got the truth. I went to the For My Life program at Pleasant Valley. I got the truth, not just the reality I was living from a doctor's diagnosis and a curse I believed. And I will never forget coming back from that week of intensive ministry. The first time I did it, we had my dad with us. We were in a little RV, stayed in a campground, and we were driving back. And my late husband wanted a cup of coffee. And so we pulled off at a Waffle House or a Huddle House or something. I don't remember which one it was. And I said I'd go in so that we didn't have to juggle my dad around. And at that time, you could still smoke in restaurants in Georgia. And as I was walking toward the place, I noticed it was absolutely a blue fog inside with the smoke. And when I saw all that smoke, I had this trace of fear try to jump on me. But I said, and I said it out loud, not real loud, but out loud, I said, no, I am healed. I went in. They had to make fresh coffee. I stood at the counter by this little old man who was smoking up a storm. And I never even smelled it. And I was so excited when I got back to that vehicle. I handed over the coffee. I said, did you see that? And he said, I can't even smell it on your clothes. So we know that God is a miracle-working God. And we also know that what we believe and confess makes a huge difference in how we will be afflicted or not.
Amen. A powerful word.
It's a true word.
Next, we have the notion that there are some diseases or afflictions that God intends for us to live with or to die from. And again, that's foolishness. This idea is again held in place by our life experiences and religion digs up a verse or two that seem to support it. The most used or maybe abused scripture in that area is that of Paul's thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Mm.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul says he has a thorn in the flesh. He carried this affliction as a badge of honor. Yet God had made it clear to the Israelites that if they didn't deal with a matter, it would become a thorn in the flesh to them. Numbers 33:55. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. And in Judges chapter 2, verse 1, and an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swore unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you.
Wow. Wow.
Better pay attention.
Better pay attention.
The guy calls you for a purpose.
Amen.
Pay attention.
Could it be that there was something in Paul's life that he did not deal with? Paul admitted in these verses in Corinthians that God said, my grace is sufficient. Well, what does that mean? To me, it means the grace of God is what we need to separate ourselves from the issue and to rid ourselves of the thing, the spiritual root that causes the infirmity. God's grace, sufficient for healing. Yes. And God's grace is sufficient for us to decide, as Paul did, to live with the thing and let it be a reminder of God's strength in our weakest moments. His grace is sufficient either way we decide. But I believe God wants us to take action, to rid ourselves of the evil behind our illnesses, to drive out the inhabitants of the land, which is our body, this land I live in, and to make no league with the workers of iniquity, those evil spirits that cause the infirmity. We're not to agree with the enemy and become one with it, but if we decide it's just me, then his grace does not leave us.
Amen.
He doesn't take it away either.
That's true. Because God is love. When God said, my grace is sufficient, he was telling Paul that his power and presence in Paul's life was the strength he needed to overcome and to cast out the evil that caused the affliction.
Yeah.
Remember last week, we saw that Paul knew he had a sin within, or he had sin within. Paul chose to remain weak in his infirmity. And we can only speculate that because this decision was made because Paul knew himself so well, he was unsure whether or not he would continue in the way of Christ, continue to depend on the Lord for everything and trust him in all things if he was made completely whole. Wow. I think I want to read that again. Paul knew himself so well, he was unsure whether or not he would continue in the way of Christ, continue to depend on the Lord for everything, and trust him in all things if he was made completely whole. You know, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers immediately because he has a plan and a purpose. He knows that you have to sit in that circumstance for a bit to recognize that, and God is sovereign. He is so good. And it's not unusual for people to forget when everything is going well for them. That's a fact. Exactly. You know, I could give a whole testimony on that, but we can't take the time right now. It's also not unusual for those who are strong in the Lord to begin to glory in themselves and not in God for the work they accomplish. Was Paul like that? Well, I don't know. You decide. All I know is that God's grace is sufficient to be the power which removes infirmities, and God's grace is sufficient to be the power which enables people to live with them. It's my choice as to which way I apply God's grace in my life.
Oh, that is powerful. It's my choice as to which way I apply God's grace. We do not believe it's God's will that we make the decision to live with illness or infirmity. Jesus healed everything, not just some things. And we can see that in a couple of places in Scripture. In Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. It is the will of God that all be healed. Whether it's a headache or cancer, it doesn't matter. It is the will of God that all be healed. 1 Timothy 2:3-4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, this word saved here in this scripture is the Greek word sozo, which encompasses our full salvation package, which is preservation, soundness, prosperity, deliverance from evil, and healing. God, our Savior, wills that all people be healed.
Finally, is healing for today, or did it die with the apostles? And if you think it's not for today, rip out the page in your Bible which has the verse about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus heals today. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, including speaking healing into sick bodies, cursing and removing evil spirits which holds sickness in bodies, and praying and laying hands on people for healing, and performing lots of other powerful and supernatural acts. As a matter of fact, the book of Acts doesn't have an amen at the end because it's still being written.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus still heals today. He just uses us to do it.
Amen.
The power of the Holy Spirit comes in and imparts through us his gift of healing to those in need, those who come to him. His grace flows from the cross. His blood cleanses and restores. Even before the cross, the power of kingdom authority was given to those who follow Jesus. In Matthew 10:8, says the following: heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give.
Lord.
After his resurrection, he gave essentially the same directive. Mark 16:17-18 says the following: and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Is healing for today? Only if you believe God's word is true. one of the interesting things about life is that we get to live in what we believe.
Amen.
We can truly and deeply accept God's way, or we can dabble a little in God's way and his kingdom, and a little in the world's way and live in the world. I don't think any of us is 100% in the kingdom all the time, but we're working our way to get there.
Amen.
And not by good works, which I can manage in my own human strength and wisdom, but by the grace of God to put aside my own human wisdom and strength and give my life over daily to him. Overcoming sin, sickness, poverty, and death, as Jesus did, calls for a complete surrender of self and yielding to a complete takeover by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That is what it takes. A complete surrender of self and a complete yielding to take over by the Holy Spirit. Hopefully, we all now have a better understanding of God's heart about sickness, and we can stop blaming him for making us sick, for taking out our loved ones. He doesn't kill people. He receives them. He doesn't take them. We can stop blaming God for causing birth defects and otherwise punishing us. God is not a punisher. He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that is what we are doing. So let's pray together. Hallelujah. And get rid of some of this warped thinking. Praise God. Pray this prayer out loud with me, if you will. Father, forgive me.
Father, yep.
Forever accusing you of not healing me.
Forever,
or anyone else. Thank you for the understanding.
Yeah.
And for making me aware of false doctrines. And the reasoning of man that makes your word of no effect. I break agreement with every warped view of you, God. And every spirit of accusation.
Every spirit of accusation.
I ask that you give me a true perspective.
I ask that you give me a true perspective.
In every situation. Help me see it the way you see it. Forgive me, Lord, for any sin of familiarity toward you or anyone else. And keep me open to what you are doing in my life. And the lives of others. Thank you, Father, that I walk in the righteousness.
Thank you, Father, that I walk in the righteousness.
That enables your healing to flow in me and through me to others, so that all generational curses of infirmity can be totally broken off my bloodline. I break agreement with infirmity. And I forgive all my ancestors for opening the door to infirmities. Forgive me for receiving the lie of hell, Lord, that you create flawed people, or that it is your will that someone be sick. Forgive me for believing that lie and even for living it. I break agreement with the lie and every demon behind it.
Every demon behind.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Help me watch my words, Lord, so that I don't fall into agreement with the enemy.
That I don't fall into agreement with the enemy.
Or give any of his demons a legal right. To any part of my health. Thank you for your grace.
Thank you for your grace.
That enables me to deal with those assignments from hell. That buffet my life. Thank you for your grace.
Thank you for your grace.
That empowers me to overcome. Every buffeter sent from Satan. Help me always to apply your grace.
Always apply your grace.
To my circumstances. In a way that is both pleasing to you.
In a way that is both pleasing to you.
And beneficial to me. Give me the courage, Lord. To be a part of the book of Acts that is still being written. Give me the courage not to give up. And to not give in. But instead to press through. In full persuasion that your word is true. And that you always cause me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I just speak right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I take the sword of the Spirit of God, and I sever all generational cords of iniquity, every evil soul tie that has held any illness, sickness, infirmity, propensity for accident, accident proneness, any other injurious thing that has been in your bloodline, I cut through those cords completely right now, and I send back in the spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you, and I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. And I pull down words that would bring or hold a curse in your life. A curse of illness, a curse of infirmity, a curse of injury, a curse of any injurious thing. Even when, if and when those words were spoken out of your own mouth in claiming some disease to be yours or in reasoning why you have such a thing so that you give it a right there. I pull those words down in the name of Jesus. I crush them under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I declare they will die and bear no more fruit in your life or in my life. I cast out every spirit or spirit guide that will cause a warped view of God, every spirit or spirit guide of familiarity and accusation, every spirit of infirmity and every lie and the lying devil behind it. In Jesus' name, I cast you out. I send you all to the pit now where burning coals fall on you and you cannot rise again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask right now that you fill your people. Fill us, Lord, from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, in every place where these spirits, these infirmities, these disturbances, the damage, the cellular damage, the mental damage, the emotional damage, everywhere, Lord, that these things have afflicted or affected us, fill us now with your divine health and healing. Flow through your people. Flow your anointing. Flow your river of living water to cleanse and to flush out of us every unclean thing that would affect our health or our well-being in any area. Fill us up, God, with more of you. I ask that you settle this word tonight in the hearts and in the minds of every listener. And bring forth the manifestation of it in our physical flesh. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. If you have a comment or a question, you can push the star 6 keys on your telephone keypad, and you will be heard. Pastor Phil is going to pray us into this wonderful week and give us a benediction, but I want you to have an opportunity to make your comments first. Star 6, unmute your phone if you got something to say.
Hi, this is Helen. I always have something to say.
Yep.
I would love to go to boot camp somewhere. You know where I could go to boot camp for about 6 weeks? I mean, I believe everything that you say, and I've believed it for a very long time. But what amazes me, what did I just say the other day? I was really pushed into a little confrontation here. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. And I walked away, and I thought, what in the world did I say? But it's things like that. It's just discipline. But anyway, the teaching is wonderful. And I still would like to go to boot camp somewhere anyway. So thank you very much, and I will be getting the teaching again. And I'm sorry I missed Friday. It's because 4 o'clock on Saturday, Judy reminded me. I thought it was Friday, and she said, no, this is Saturday. So I kind of messed up there. Anyway, have a good evening.
Thank you, Helen. God bless you. Maybe we'll start a boot camp. The cat likes that idea. Okay, anybody else got something to say?
Hi, Vicki. It's Lisa, and I have first enjoyed the message tonight. And then relate to, you know, my uncle, by the way, he's doing good. He's doing better, put it
Great
this
Lord.
Way. But there's been some shift, like blaming. I'm hearing, you know, like his daughter blaming the hospital that treated him, and how would you say?
Well,
like, it's from the enemy, obviously. So, do you think we need to take that? Like, it's obviously from the enemy.
Let me just pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just shut down every spirit of accusation regarding Lisa's uncle and his health or any person. Lord, we forgive those people now. We stand in the gap and we remit the sin of his family who are blaming and accusing. We remit that sin. We send it away, Lord. And we ask that you give them your gift of repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they can recover themselves from the snare of the devil. And we ask you, Father, as we forgive these people who may or may not have done something amiss, Lord, we forgive them. We release them into your hand, that you can bring the answer. You are the one who rights all the wrongs. And, Lord, I just praise you and thank you that you work in every heart, and that Lisa's uncle can be fully recovered. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's great. That was terrific. But you didn't said it any better, exactly. So, yeah, he has like some, well, he's 80. I'm sorry, he's 79, just had a 79th birthday. But he's in great shape, you know, for his age condition. He hasn't, but he has, you know, they saw like a couple blood, like some clots. From what I hear, that's common when you come down with the this illness. And so he's like been back and forth. But now, like, I'm overhearing from family members that the CHOS, you know, he should have went to another hospital, but he wanted to go to the hospital he's at.
Well,
which, you know, some family members, no, he should,
it's okay. God's
it's
got
okay.
this.
Right.
Okay.
And you just
God's got this.
Yeah, thank you.
So,
praise God.
Just
great message.
Yeah.
Very
thank
good.
You. Let it go. Let God do his thing. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Who else has something? Anybody?
Thank y'all for equipping us with wisdom and knowledge. And I've got my armor plate pulled up high on me. Thank you very much for all your help.
Oh, God bless you, Mitch.
God bless you, brother.
Too. Thank you. Appreciate you, brother.
Anyway, it's a minute.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, we're here.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, with all the stuff. I was like, right on. You just don't acknowledge the reality of it, and you go through, put the grace of God, and you'll walk on past. That's the way I look at it. Yeah. Just
amen.
Go forward. This is of the, that's why I look at it. This is of the world. I'm not of the world, but it's something I got to go through, and that's it. That's how I look at it.
Amen. Good
so I'm work. Yeah, I don't know where it comes from. I think my phone gave it to me personally. It's something I did. So that's how I looked at it. So, on my situation. Anyway, I didn't blame God. He ain't got nothing to do with it. That's right. It wasn't nothing he did. That's for sure.
That's right.
Yeah. You tell him, girl.
All right.
Good night.
Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to know that we can do something about it. Hallelujah. Watching our words, pursuing the Lord, and believing his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word tonight. Powerful word. Seal it in our hearts, Lord, that we can live and walk this thing in resurrection power. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the time, this is the season to walk in the authority of the kingdom. Jesus said, asked him, what do we do? He said, just believe. Believe. That's the answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the simplicity that's in Christ. Thank you. Hallelujah. So we thank you for your word tonight. We just ask you to seal it in our hearts, God. Lead us and guide us into all truth and empower us to and bring it to our remembrance, Lord, what to say and where to go. Speak to our hearts on a regular basis as you do, Lord. Power us to discern your voice. And Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this word. Hallelujah. And as Aaron blessed the people of Israel, I will bless you with the Aaronic benediction found in Numbers, the 6th chapter in Hebrew and English, or followed by the English. God bless you as you hear. Yivarechach Adonai ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha yifunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And we add in Yeshem Yeshua in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Shalom, of peace. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you that for all that you are. That we bow our knees this evening and worship you in spirit and in truth, as you are our all and all. Thank you for all of your benefits in your kingdom. We give you an honor and glory for that. And encamp your angels around your people. Give them a God-filled weep. Bring them back on Friday and at 7:15 in the morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. As you rest tonight, may God bring you restoration. We will talk at the King's Table at 7:15 in the morning. Again, this message, Friday night, as Phil reminded us, 8:30. Bye now.
Good night. Good night.
Bye. God bless.
Good night. Thank you.